Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay! Thank you, my love. I am really excited and honored to be hosting and sharing and exploring these vast topics of what I call kind of the weird and the shadowy sometimes. It's the stuff that often we don't want to talk about. Sexuality, consciousness, tantra, and there's so many facets of our life that are about slowing down and looking inside and listening as we come into relationship with the earth and the world around us and our own bodies and the delight that can emerge in that. So these shows, I often include stories of my own path, things that I've learned in my experiences and teachings and training, and exploring, like sometimes feeling, getting into our bodies and guiding us, guiding explorations, meditations, and slowing down to get in there. And that is, again, today how we are going to begin, with a little bit of slowing down and getting into the body as we take a few breaths to begin. Invite yourself to settle in. Invite a breath. Allow an exhale with some sound. Giving yourself permission to vibrate a little bit, to make sound, to create sound. And to feel the earth. Feel the earth below you, around you, plug in. To start to relate to what's it like to let the earth carry you. Notice if there's places in your body gripping or pulling away from the flow of gravity. And what's it like to surrender to that downflow? To know that everything's going to be okay. The earth's got my back. The universe has my back. And I can let go of some of the baggage, some of the things I carry day to day that maybe are time to release. And with a breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time to explore perhaps something new, exploring, listening, and feeling. And with that breath, gently bringing your awareness back into the space. And opening your eyes. Beautiful. Welcome, those of you listening in live this fine, beautiful fall morning, or if you're listening in the archives, fantastic. Welcome. Be here now and begin the process of listening to your body, or continue the beautiful process of listening deeply to your body. In fact, that is a beautiful segue into today's topic, something that has been really alive with me this year and something that I've been sharing about in different ways recently. I want to explore today a topic that I call listening to my body, a food journey with orgasmic results. Whee! This journey of sacred sexuality, It's vast. It is the very nature of life. It is a life path, a life journey. And it spans our whole beingness. You know, the ancient temple priestesses were there and available as guides for life, that it was about, you know, how do we nourish our bodies? How do we learn to connect with others? Holding space and creating a home, all of this type of work and our sexual energy and our sexual beings, they're so interrelated. And as we as we've moved forward in eons, we've put some divider walls between all of that. And I want to invite in this journey, breaking down some of those barriers so that we can again start to connect with the very essence of who we are as energetic infinite beings here in a finite form. That in fact, the very nature of our lives and our experiences are how we learn and grow and relate with others is how we again learn and grow and change. And our deep sexual essence, our energy in the root of our body is the foundation for all of that. And today I want to explore a little bit and share a little bit on this journey of food awareness that has really opened up and make the connection. Like, how is that connected? How is that connected to our sexuality and our life force and our energy and the brilliance of orgasmic repertoire? Because they are connected. That is real. To start to acknowledge and bring awareness to these facets of our lives that we kind of sometimes brush off or assume are just a given, things like breathing and eating. And we ignore the fact of the impact or the quality of it as it impacts our physical form, our body, and our energetics. So let's explore a little bit what I mean by listening to my body and a food journey with orgasmic results. To begin, I want to rewind a little bit and back up a little bit in my story and also set the stage. So I've been sharing in this path of sacred sexuality for quite some time. And most recently, like I mentioned, it's been very alive that I have changed once again the very way that I eat and relate with food and what I bring in. To continue to share about this, there's a few principles I want to rest in, and I want to offer that each of our bodies has something different to say. So when I'm just describing this journey of listening to my body, this is one body. This is one perspective. How I see and relate to what those messages are for me are going to look different than how you may see and relate to the messages of yours. And honor that. It doesn't have to be a match or a comparison or a competition do exactly something else somebody else is saying because it worked for them. What I'm encouraging is deeply listening to your own journey, your own path. What are the keys, the clues, the guideposts in your experiences that give you the essence of what your path is? It's beautiful. Your path is beautifully unique. No one else can be you. You know, no one else can bring the beautiful gifts you bring to this planet to the planet because those are uniquely yours. And that's what I really want to encourage as I start to talk about this, that it's not about, oh, I should go do that. Exactly. But it might be, oh, I could go inquire in that as well. What would it be like for my body to explore something? And so this is what I do. I offer this as possibilities. Another point is time and journey and where we're at on our own spiral will really kind of impact what's right for us now. And I'll go into that a little bit in my own spiral, my own journey, my past. Stuff that I'm going to describe that's been a part of this year could not have been a realistic part of my life at 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. It's like the time became now. So there's this ease when I look at it that way of like, yes, I'm empowered to know I can make changes and it's okay for changes to be one step at a time. It's okay to not do everything all at once. It's okay to really listen to how can I really notice what my body wants and needs and then create the fertile soil within for those new changes to take root. So what this is not about as we go is it's not that, oh, I gave up eating this food and then I ate those foods and I followed these steps and it worked for me, therefore you need to follow them. I want to invite, no, listen to your own body for what is right for you in each moment. And what this is about is possibilities, again, things to consider, new perspectives. I've personally seen over and over in my own life, when I could see someone else doing something or being something or having the courage to kind of explore something different, it helped me go, oh, I didn't even realize like that gave me a model, like a possibility, like, really? You can do it that way? You know, it harkens back to one of the first times I really noticed that was as I was recognizing the need to leave a partnership, a marriage, and feeling stressed about how the heck that was going to happen and how we were going to manage being able to be parents for our daughter. And I could see in a person very close to me at the time, a good friend, a whole different model of parenting, of how they shared parenting in two homes. And, oh, wow, like that's possible that you can live nearby, the child can move back and forth between homes, and it doesn't have to be as traumatic as in the way I experienced it in my own life, which was one parent leaving completely and not seeing them but once a year or something. So there was this model that I just hadn't witnessed before. And for me, that became a really important piece of what supported my journey on making that authentic move where I knew I needed to shift and create two happy homes instead of one miserable one, which we did and has been beautiful. And that was many years ago at this time. So these possibilities, right, that there is a way, and I know it's been really helpful for me to see that, and perhaps this will provide some of that option, is authenticity, that discerning the messages I get from my body and my intuition and spiritual guidance, that those might look, they do look different. And is different from, how can I discern those from my wounded places, my ego, my control freak self, the little sensor that sits on my shoulder and says, you shouldn't do that, or you should do that. Why aren't you doing that? You know, and that's a pretty profound screamer. Like often the sensor screams a lot louder. There's a louder voice from the sensor and the ego than there is from the place of the authentic body and spirit. And part of what this journey is about, and in fact, part of the root of what I learned in the food journey was I had to clear away a lot of the noise, to clear the space to listen to those subtler body messages. They are, they're quiet, and they'll be there waiting for us. They can be quieter. They don't scream as loud as the really boisterous one in the front row. And the boisterous one in the front row is the sensor and the ego more often than not. So this really is about, can we start to discern those messages and authentically connect with our choices instead of, I just want to sit and eat chocolate covered marshmallows all day. And then go, wow, that really didn't feel so good when I'm done. So this is something that I have found. Part of what supports that is really slowing way down, as I mention often, slowing way down with love and respect for myself, my own body, the world around me, others, and that from that place I can start to discern. This is also what I call, as another point of foundation, it's what I call yes and. You are amazing, and there may be new possibilities to even expand more brightly in your power, brilliance, courage, love, patience, whatever pieces you're seeking to really embody. So it's not about somebody being broken. There's nothing to fix. It's not about having to do anything or beat yourself up as you start to notice things that you might really want to change. Be gentle on yourself. And I say this to myself as much as I say it to everyone. I have been such the biggest beater upon myself in my life. You know, I was the one forcing myself to be the perfectionist. There wasn't really anyone outside of me saying, you need to do this. This was me going, I got to do it. I got to try to be perfect. I've got to try to do better and better and better, because maybe then I'll get that love or whatever the story is. I had many. It's been lovely to start to witness those stories, those layers that I wrote that were maybe not so authentic. So all of that, now I'd like to get into a little bit more about this story, this journey, on what it has been like with bringing, inviting food and relating into my body and seeing the changes in my orgasmic repertoire, my sexuality, my very aliveness. So let's start with a little bit of some backstory and a little bit of some themes that I've noticed that have been kind of an interesting reflection on my past. So it starts a little bit with the backstory. What happened for me in my early life? And, you know, that harkens way back to maybe even in childhood, where what I ate and how I ate looked incredibly different than even what I ate, say, 10 years ago. It started with really like, you know, those favorite foods of mine as a kid, macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes and gravy and pizza and things that involved really refined flours and sugars. And often foods in our home were from quick possibilities, prepackaged, canned, boxed. And really, you know, without judgment, it was my mom looking to support two preteen teenage girls. That is a lot of work to do when you're working full time. My dad's no longer in the house. Like, what does that look like? I can't even imagine through her experience, but I'll just say through my set of filters, what I saw was, you know, it was a really rushed experience. It was rushed, hurry up, get dinner on the table with two kids yelling, what's for dinner? What time, you know, when are we going to eat? Ooh, we don't want that tonight. And kind of complaining and whining and a lot of stress and anxiety around food preparation and around meals. There really was no love. There was no, like, a chance to connect. And it wasn't a bonding experience at all. It was very just hurry up and get through this thing to get the calories in the body and move on to the next thing. So, and I also had an interesting emotional stuff attached to that, right? Sometimes that special treat we'd have with dad, you know, ice cream or that pop soda that we could drink while we're watching the movie. But, and so it's just like these things and this attachment to food as an emotional experience, you know, as a way to get love, as a way to feel nourished by another person. And so while the things weren't necessarily so physically nourishing, there was a connection to that kind of wound into my energetics, I've noticed since. And there was also this bit of rushed experience of like, you have to hurry up and eat it. There's not enough. And I don't exactly know where that came from other than like my dad would eat things off of our plates and, you know, blessings on, again, all of those choices. There's no blame here on either of my parents. Just noticing some of the themes of like, wow, you know, I'm having to guard and protect and hurry up. So these were the threads that the foundation of my physical body receiving food and how my gut body began to grow. And then later in college, I was a binge drinker, not so healthy. Oh my gosh. And ate, you know, gained 50 pounds. So I just started eating and drinking in ways that really didn't serve, and a lot of fast food and a lot of quick food, you know, college, like buy the 10 packages of ramen noodles, you know, for a buck or I don't remember, just real cheap. And like, just this whole eating from a can and eating from fast. It continued. So I left college and went into a career and started to recognize that, God, I got to lose some weight. You know, I stood on the scale and I couldn't believe the number I was nearing that day. And I started to make a change. But what really, in retrospect, you know, while I started exercising and moving my body again, which was really beautiful and important, but I took it to a pretty far extreme. And it ended up being really a way of binding in my body. So while it's empowering, I moved my body, I lost weight. These are good, positive things. There was also this piece of me that was attacking it like anything else in life, which is I better do more. So I spent some years, as about a decade, as an endurance athlete of swimming and biking and running and Ironman triathlons and marathons. And these are long, intense experiences of training and racing on the body. And while I lost the weight, there was a gripping, there was a fear. One wrong move, one wrong bite, and it's all going to come flying back on. And this constant sort of running from the fear of gaining it. So then there was a lot of gripping and tightness and clenching involved in my body and in my food experiences. And while I did my best to change to healthier eating, reflecting back, some of that wasn't all that, at least in what I know now, wasn't as great of service as maybe I thought. And that's just because we do the best we know in each time. And things like, you know, oh yeah, I'll just take that protein mix, protein powder, or, you know, I'm going to eat, for a while I tried to eat really low fat. That was the big thing, eat low fat, you know, so much more, be more likely to have like Snackwell's cookies that at the time, I don't even know if that brand still exists, but they were really low fat, but high fake sugar, a whole bunch of other things in them. And gummy bears and, you know, sugary treats that had, quote, no fat, but had no nutritional value, empty calories. But I thought, you know, that's better than eating, say, cheese. And then I did work with a nutritionist who said, you know, no, actually, with the, you know, you are putting a lot of stress and caloric requirements on your body. You know, eat some snacks that include some decent, you know, like a handful of nuts and cheese and dried cherries or dried, you know, that type of thing. So that woke up. So my point being, I started, you know, I was doing my best to eat well, and it wasn't great, you know, still a lot of prepackaged foods and such. Then I had what I call a spiritual awakening. I talk about this often. But after the spiritual awakening, I started to really start to see things differently. And I started to notice how much mindfulness and loving preparation and bringing gratitude to meals and to eat, bringing them in the body. And that started to really shift how I related to food. And I had a kind of a profound experience with an avocado at a vision quest coming off of a 3-day fast, where I was given by a beautiful being, you know, has prepared and hands me this avocado as the first thing that comes back into my body after 3 days other than water. And I was just so touched with the profound quality of the sensation of the flavor and the joy of bringing this avocado into my body. And it sort of, at first I'm just like, wow, this tastes so amazing. You know, and I'm asking like, what did you do to this thing? And of course it really didn't have anything to do with that. But he, you know, he says, oh yeah, well, first it's one part your desperation, right? So here I am ready to eat again. But it's also like, you know, sure, it was maybe the salt or the pepper or the whatever, but it's also the love, right? Here I was receiving a gift of nourishment that someone has consciously prepared and given to me. And that was a really sweet gift of love, that this circle of support that the Vision Quest created and offered in general was a profound shift in kind of the overall awareness that I started to have around food. So that was around 7 years ago. And I had what I call an herbal awakening a few years later, where I started to eat wild and start to really relate to plants and the world around me differently. So I was eating better and better. And I had started to recognize and release a lot of refined flours and didn't eat as much pasta or bread, although I still ate some. And so I, you know, changing the way I ate that felt good and right each step of the way. And now what I want to do, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to bring us forward to the time of this experience that this year has brought, which has really awakened my awareness around the power of changes and how it changed my body and my sexual energy. And first, let's take a short break. And we'll be back.
Thank you, Leslie. You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is October 20th, 2015, and you are listening live with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to talk with Leslie today, give us a call at 646-378-0378. And that number again is 646-378-0378. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Courtney. And yeah, so we're on this journey today of listening to your body and my experience with the food journey, listening deeply to my body and how it opened up a whole orgasmic and sexual realm of newness that's been just phenomenal. So as I shared a little bit about the backstory, now we are in a place of coming into this year. So as I have been listening to spirit and my body guidance now for many years, and it still continues to unfold ways to do that and ways to really get into subtler messages. But I've found when spirit kind of brings something around two or three times, it's time to listen. And what was happening in the early part of this year was this hit on Candida. Candida kept coming up. Candida. I'm like, what is that? And Candida is a yeast that can be in overgrowth in the body. And actually, as it turned out for me, it wasn't the Candida yeast itself that was even an issue for my body, according to some later testing. But what it did was it sparked me to look up, what's it like to do a cleanse to support the body, to maybe clear out some maybe bacterial overgrowth or things that are causing some problems. And where it was coming, what was sort of lighting that up was a lot of issues in my past with itchiness. So I had this left foot that has this itchy kind of fungusy thing and little itchy spots in other places in my body. And then other sort of gastrointestinal things that at the time I really wouldn't have overtly named, but constipation was one of them, bloaty, gassy, all sorts of little things that I'd noticed over the years. And so, you know, I'm like, maybe I need to do this cleanse. So I look up and do a little research to find out what that means. And with a little guidance from a resource online and intuitive guidance from myself, I embarked on starting to shift my awareness and my food intake to do this cleanse. I'll call this in February of this year, I started what I call a phase that I call the cleanse. And what that involved was releasing quite a few foods that I had been eating. And I thought at the time, you know, hey, I'm eating pretty well. You know, I eat healthy whole foods. You know, yep, I eat some prepackaged stuff. Yep, I eat some breads and stuff. But I minimize that a lot. I don't eat much sugar. You know, that sort of thing. I think I'm doing pretty good. Well, I take a closer look. And one of the things that this cleanse recommended, the idea is don't feed this bacteria, the bacteria or the yeast. Don't feed these little creatures in the gut, the ones that we don't want to be in overgrowth. Don't feed them, and then they will die off. Well, and we do, by the way, we live with a whole host of organisms on our body, our biome, our microbiome, and we have a microbiome all over our body, the exterior skin, the interior gut body, all of these beautiful places on our body we carry in balance with billions and trillions of microorganisms. And that's a good thing. This is not bad, as I say that. And if you're going, ew, like, no, we want them. We live in a symbiotic balance. It's important. What can happen, though, is things can go wildly out of balance. And I believe that's what I was dealing with. And so I started the first phase that I did, I said, okay, I got to release, you know, I look this up and I'm like, I'm going to have to release sugar. I'm going to have to release, that includes grains and legumes and anything that can convert very quickly to sugar in the gut, potatoes, beets, mushrooms, all of these I released. I released cashews and some other nuts that had some concerns with mold content. Cashews are actually a seed, I believe, but the idea is they were part of what was gone. So I have a whole list. And actually, I have a whole resource. I've written in detail about this, and I have a blog. If anybody's really quite interested in what this has all been about and wants to learn a little bit more or tap into some of these resources, go to my website, and you can find my blog there, or you can go directly to my blog at blog.onespaceconnected.com. So I, as I started to release all of those things, my big fear was, well, I can't, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it in a way that I feel safe. And one of the things was I was a regular chocolate eater. I'm like, I can't give up chocolate. That's, it's too important to me. And, you know, good quality dark chocolate's good for me anyway. So I'm going to figure out a way to keep it. So what I did when I realized I was have to give up sugar is I figured out a way to make chocolate myself out of good quality dark cacao and cocoa butter, coconut oil or coconut butter, maybe a little agave nectar or honey. And I was able to make chocolate and find ways to have chocolate and cacao in ways that didn't require the sugar and such. So I did all of that. And I had some other things that I was like, okay, I need this and this. And so I figured out this way to make it like, yeah, I can rest into this. And I did. And I gave up sugar. And I started to realize how much it shows up everywhere and everywhere. Like sugar, truly giving up sugar is quite a quest. And you will be quite a detective to notice in all the places it shows up. And my body was really good at helping me be a detective because occasionally I would accidentally eat sugar and then that itchiness in my left foot would light up and I'd be like, what is going on? I must have eaten sugar. And I'd go back and look at my food log and find, oh, guess what? That has sugar in it, right? So some examples that I write about on the blog was bacon that isn't processed, that's processed in a really healthy way. It's actually good quality, healthy bacon without nitrates and you know, without chemical processing, but it's processed with sugar. And that's one example, along with many others. You pretty much can't eat out and hope to find things that don't have sugar in many, many, many cases. So I moved past that and just said, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I was eating primarily healthy meats and veggies and good quality oils. And I started to feel better. And then a beautiful friend brought to my awareness that, hey, well, you also gave up dairy, right? And I felt this resistance come in because I was like, no, I've given up bread. I've given up sugar. I've given up like all these things. You can't possibly ask me to give up cheese. And yet he was right. So I realized all I needed to do was give it a go to see how did it feel for, you know, a week. What's it like to just give it up for a week? So it was just one step at a time, you know, each step of this, one step at a time. So I did. I released cheese. And about 10 days after doing that, and I'm now about maybe 3 weeks into this whole process, tops, I had what I call the epic poop, which was a whole shift in the way my body was processing food and life that blew my mind. I did not know that I could start feeling so good. I didn't know. In fact, I started to recognize all the things in my GI discomfort levels that I had been tolerating for my entire life. I started to go, really? You don't have to feel that way all the time? I thought that was part of eating in life. You just did. So it woke up my awareness to, wow, this is big. And the shifts that started to happen in sexual energy, I want to come back to, because those became incredibly real as well. And I'm like, wow, this is not kidding around. So fast forward once again, this is all happening. I'm recognizing it's amazing. I'm also bumping up against, this is hard. There was emotional stuff. There was the difficulty in, like, I pretty much had to prepare all my food. Very little going out could I do, if at all, because there's so many hidden ingredients and so many hidden things that you just, the things that get labeled often at places. Zoop was a great example. This, I thought, wow, Zoop, you know, this is a fast food, but at least they label and they seem to be conscious about what they put in their soups. This is great. And unfortunately, they actually don't label every ingredient in their soups. They give you the main primary ones. And what is the secret hidden lurking ones don't show up. And sugar, sure enough, is in their broth. So I believe from what the research I've done so far, it appears every soup that they make has sugar. That's fine if sugar feels good for you, But it would be nice if that could be in the labeling so that we could learn that. And so, you know, in the way they label, which is great, they label which ones are vegan and gluten-free and all these things, but they really don't give you the list of ingredients. And that's what I want to invite. Gosh, just give us the list of ingredients. Let us make the choices ourselves. Anyway, so that's one example. But all of this, I started to really kind of have the emotional difficulty too of like having to always do it myself. I have to fix my meal myself. And I realized, rewinding back to what I was saying before, that the early on my childhood experiences life that said, ooh, meals have to be about hurry up and get them ready and get them on the table so that everybody can eat and then be done and move on, that was still carrying with me. And I was doing it to myself. And I was putting this huge pressure on myself to work my ass off to get the stuff on the table. And then finally, maybe once I'm seated, take a breath and have gratitude and love come in. But I was killing myself with the preparation and the planning and everything else. And it was because I wasn't planning, I was rushing. I'd wait until 5 minutes before I wanted to eat and then try to figure it out. So the threads of this became emotional and physical body as well as spiritual and mental. All the threads started to weave in and the healing started to open in all of those capacities and all those areas. As I started to recognize and work with some beautiful friends, I started to connect with support crew. And this is important. Like, who's your tribe? You know, reach out. Our friends, our family, our chosen family, there are ways we can support each other. You know, and I started to feel that with my friends and with my chosen family. And it was just to start to have the elements around that. And I write a little bit more about that at the blog. The thing then that started to open up was I knew I needed some additional support. I wanted professional guidance, frankly. So I was kind of navigating this intuitively, which was great. And the in my work, in my path, what I encourage so much is balance. And what I call masculine and feminine balance, again, not gender, but the quality of energy. And that masculine analytical part of me wanted a little bit of nuggets, some data to go on. And the feminine intuitive part of me was feeling a little overwhelmed because things were still quite noisy. So what I did is reached out and I, through a sequence of events, found and started to work with a beautiful functional medicine practitioner. Her name is Arti Bhatavia. And I gave a link to her information in my blog as well. And her and I started to embark on a whole new phase in about June. And I call this the reset. And in this reset process, what we did, and this is what is just so profound, we did some testing for what's it like to learn how is my body at an immune system level responding to foods, 150 different foods and chemicals we tested. And then what we could do is, based on that guidance, eliminate the ones I'm responding to with some moderate or high level of reaction for a while. Just get those out of the way. Ah, suddenly now we can, with getting those out of the way, then we're going to reset. I started with just eating only like 30 things that had been tested and I knew my body at least wasn't sensitive to. Now there are other facets. There's allergies and intolerances as well, but we could navigate those differently. And so that, it was a lot easier. The sensitivity part is the complex. Food sensitivities can show up in 45 minutes or in 3 days. It's different than allergies that are a different immune response that is more connected with the tissue versus the circulatory cells. And the allergies tend to happen much more quickly. We can, you know, we eat that apple, we get the itchy top of the mouth, and okay, we know we're allergic to apples. So it's easier to discern. But so we set, so pretty sure the first 30 foods I'm not allergic to, and as it turns out, I'm not. And now we have the sensitivity test to show great, and we're also pretty sure I'm not intolerant to any of them. So here we go. And so for 3 weeks, the noise clears. And after about 10 days of this process, once again, 10 days is interesting. I've seen it over and over again. You know, you give your brain, you give yourself a chance to do something for a period of time and something changes. And that's what I found. And again, we're at another 10-day point. This 10-day point, I went, oh, wow, I had no idea that things could start to feel this good. And so what I did at the 10-day point, actually, I did a voice note and I recorded because I was so blown away. And what I want to share now as we bring a few more pieces in, I want to share that the changes that happened and what started to feel and how this relates back to orgasm and sexuality and energy and body. So as a reminder, before the sort of symptoms through life, before all the cleanse process and such, the things I was dealing with was various levels of inflammation, this left foot itchiness, red and inflamed. There was other itchiness, you know, vaginal itchiness and navel itchiness. Like there's just different stuff, constipation, bloaty, gassy, floaty poops. Yes, I talk about poops. Guess what? We learn a lot about our bodies. If they're floating, that can be a sign of maldigestion. We're not getting everything we need from the food we're eating. So even if we are eating well, we're not getting enough of the nutrients from it, from our food. There's still something going on. And actually, I learned that was one of the situations in my particular case. There was anxiety, zinginess, fears, you know, body tension, gripping, winding patterns, where the fascia, the connective tissue in my body, and the dura, the matter that sort of surrounds the central nervous system, felt like it was gripping and twisting and moving when I didn't expect it. You know, lay down to sleep, and I'm pulling my shoulder up. Like, what am I doing? Congestion in my pelvis, feeling bound up with the constipation and other factors. So these were before. After this 10-day point, and as it continues, and this has been a continuing journey and things are continuing to unfurl, it's been beautiful. Let me give an idea of what has happened after. That the itchiness has all but disappeared. Maybe once or twice do I even notice something. The red inflamed stuff, gone. I feel more alive, more energy upon waking and through my whole day. I feel a clarity in my pelvis. So we spent the last month's show about talking about pelvis and pelvic floor and sexual energy and our response through the body with pelvis. Imagine what it's like if we're going to feel our sexual energy in our pelvis as one place, and one of many, but certainly it starts there. It's like we cultivate it there. If there's no space there, how can we expect to really cultivate and allow this vibrancy to have space to move? So now I've started to feel this clarity in my pelvis and more grounded in my body so that my very being is more plugged in to being in my body and connected with my nervous system and connected with my pelvis and my womb space. I start noticing subtle body energy clarity. In other words, as I've mentioned before, we are vast beings much larger than a physical form. What's it like to start to become presently aware of the energetics of our being that extend beyond our body? And more of that started to open up for me. My elimination now there's now a clear urge and a clear movement. I was telling somebody, I'm like, wow, I have a whole new joy for the meaning of the phrase bowel movement. Like there is a movement. There is a, you know, peristaltic kind of action, peristalsis, that action that sort of moves our food and, you know, elimination process through the body. That is a movement. And it really can clear, you know, you can have clear, long, thick, complete movements that feel, right? They're allowed to feel good. They feel complete. That started happening. So I'm not feeling any more bloating or gassiness. My poops are now sinking, right? So I'm getting more out of, I'm actually starting to pull more nutrients out of my food. My gut body is digesting more efficiently. My body's receiving more nourishment. And this is nourishing and bringing more nutrients into my brain. I'm feeling a calm and an ease, feelings of well-being, safety, trust, the sense of, you know, everything's going to be okay. There have been many times in my life where huge periods of times I would not feel that sense of okay. So the other things that are happening, ease, feeling less bound up, less tight, less wound up through my jaw, for example. A lot of popping and pulling in my jaw through my life, a lot of trauma in my mouth and jaw earlier in my life. It feels as if the tissues that hold all of that are letting go of their grip. The fascia and the muscle is letting go of its grip. The dural tube, again, surrounding the central nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord, is resting in more ah. There's a new orgasmic repertoire, new openings in my sexual energy and its ability to move through my body, wide and joyous. There's an increase in my sexual energy. It's more accessible. I can meet it. I can work with it. I can invite it and cultivate it in new ways with myself and with my partner. And that's huge. Like, it's not just sex in the bedroom, right? This is what I really want to convey with this story is that it is a full body experience, our sexual energy. It's not just, oh, sex is about sex and food is about food and poop is around about poop or whatever. They're all intertwined. It's body balance. And can I open to receive and flow and work with energy? And finally, it really opened up, you know, I had a lot of healing around emotional body and love and gratitude and mindfulness, a more expanded sensory awareness, more present to ecstatic joy as I receive food into my body. So that literally there are times now where I'm eating and just opening and feeling pleasure in the very sensory experience of eating. The color, the texture, the taste filling me with sensory delight. This is a powerful facet of sensual living, is that we don't have to wait to be in the bedroom to feel our juicy, sexual, ecstatic bliss, that it can be simply now by creating a container that feels safe and opening pathways and clearing out noise, listening to my body. All of these things open ways of possibility for being present in and delighting in my body and my experience of relating, whether that be with food, with plants in nature, with animals, with trees, or with my love or my partners. What's it like to feel good about myself? And in the very feeling good about myself, I can love another. As a beautiful being in my life said, we love another person by deeply loving ourselves in the presence of another person. That is deep, real deep love to share transcendentally. And all of this, I say and acknowledge that, like, there's this part of me that goes, really? You're talking about food and poop? And what does that have to do with sexuality? And I can't underscore enough, like, the changes as I viscerally felt them, it's now a knowing for me, the changes. That said, it's different for each person. So let your journey be what it is. Do you have to follow this exact diet? No. In fact, I wouldn't encourage it. The foods that I ate were based on my testing. The foods that I released and eliminated were based on my body's testing for immune response. And my body said, hey, these kind of stress us out and these feel really easeful. So, wow, what's it like to get rid of the ones that go, these stress us out? Give them up for a while. You know, for a while. Who's to say where this is going to go? You know, yes, I've given up chocolate. That was one of them. I gave up chocolate, the thing I thought I never would give up. At the reset phase, it was one of the things my body was responding to. I gave it up. It cleared noise. My body started to listen. And now it's clear that it's going to stay that way, at least for the foreseeable future. Maybe I'll change that again at some point, and maybe not. The beauty is I don't have to figure all that out right now. I can just be with the delight that I feel now. And that's what I encourage for each of us. Be with who you are, listen deeply to your body, and love and listen. Do your best to listen. Make changes that feel good and right for you. And with that, we're going to take a short break and come back to close with a breath and a sinking in.
I want to thank everyone for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please venture to Mystery School, thetemplearts.com, where you can find all of her contact information and where you can also connect with her for speaking engagements or her private sessions. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. Have you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online, see the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD, a guided practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. Announcing the 2015-2016 season of Sacred Sexuality classes are now posted and open for registration. Join us for the next class in February or March and sign up by December 16th for 20% off the tuition. See the website for more details. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives is by clicking on a link available under contact at the website. Announcing Leslie's new monthly Sacred Sexuality videocast. You choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website under event calendar to join in. The next one will be held Wednesday, November 4th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Join us at the next Temple Community Gathering. Curious about Mystery School, the Temple Arts offerings, but not sure where to start? Join us at a Temple Gathering. The next one will be held Sunday, November 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. This is a regular gathering for seekers at Mystery School of the Temple Arts, getting a chance to connect and discuss openly on sexuality, tantra, consciousness, spirituality, and more. After an opening meditation, we hold a sacred circle, creating a safe space to share and ask questions on intimate topics you didn't think you could talk about. Such a beautiful group forms each time, and we love seeing how spirit guides us together. The gathering is free of charge. Donations to support the temple are welcome and not required. Please contact Leslie to RSVP and for location details. More information is available at the website under offerings. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Ah, thank you, Courtney. And thank you all for joining in. And I invite you now to take a few breaths to feel into your body and listen. Check in. Is there something that wants to be heard right in this moment? As you feel and connect with and scan your body, you may notice a place that's asking for a little attention. Maybe give it a little breath. Surround that area in a container, a balloon. Fill that balloon with your breath without trying to fix or change or judge. Just simply inform the area. Love it. And as you do, just notice again. Notice any changes. Does it feel different? How does it feel different? Is there a change in the color, texture, in the sensation of movement, or any other qualities you notice in your felt sense? And as you notice that, give yourself a breath of happy dance, celebration, gratitude, wonder, awe for saying, yay, I made a change. And notice if you start to beat yourself up. Nah, it's just one change. It still hurts. This other thing still hurts, or this other thing is still talking to me. And release that and let yourself delight in, you got to feel something a little different in your body, and you did it simply with your awareness. Letting go of perhaps one limiting thought that you came in with today, something that no longer serves, that, oh, I can let that story go, drop it away into the earth with a breath and exhale. And then inhale with a sense of, yes, more please, welcoming in, light, life, nourishment, a quality you choose to carry with you. What would you love to receive? Courage, patience, love. Whatever it may be, breathe it in. Claim it as yours. Let yourself receive that gift from the divine. Ah, believe it as so. And when you are ready, taking a breath of gratitude for yourself and beginning the process of gently coming back into the world around you to walk into the rest of your day. Deep, deep gratitude and namaste.
Thank you for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschooloftetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website mysteryschooloftetemplearts.com, which is a private temple studio in West Dearborn, Michigan. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.